You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello, 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 and welcome back to the Drag Race Recap here on Reality TV Wrap-Ups. I'm your host, Liana Boris, and we are here to talk about All-Stars Season 6, Episode 8, Snatch Game of Love. And of course, I'm not alone. We have our fabulous panel here for you today. First, a man who I was just brutally murdering, or was my fantastic murder partner, Amon Adwin. Amon, how are you?
Yeah, what a wonderful bout of imposter rounds for me this past Sunday on Among Us. I've never been so successful. Clearly more successful at imposter than some of these imposters during Snatch Game.
Ooh.
Yeah,
there's that. Yeah, I just realized that that made absolutely no sense if you didn't know the context that we just finished playing Among Us. I sound like I just was a murderer on a murder spree. So, like, Zodiac Killer realness. Hello.
Hey.
Hey.
Look at us.
Look at us go. Oh, and of course, to round out the rest of the panel, it is the wonderful Beth Dixon. Beth, how are you?
I'm doing really great. I'm so sad that I didn't get to see too much of you guys murdering because I was only there for the first hour of the Among Us stream.
Yes, again, Among Us, just to emphasize.
Among Us, yes, Among Us, where I did kill Amon, and that was the only kill I did do. So my apologies, Amon. I'm so sorry. But you know what?
It sounds never like forgiven.
But never forgiven. I know. Oh.
Well, if you can't kill yourself, how in the hell are you going to kill somebody else? I don't know. Okay, let's move away from that awkwardness and let's talk about this episode because we have a few things to touch on after the elimination. And then really, it is all about the snatch this week. So, you know, there's, of course, the talk of Trinity K. Bonet, her two wins, the fact that she lost a wig, she hasn't won a lip sync yet. And then, you know, all about the decision and the fact that there was a tie. Beth, is there anything that struck you from these conversations?
No, I just think it is interesting, the one part of this where she says, in season six, I was the lip sync assassin, and now I can't even win a lip sync when I'm here. But you do have to kind of sit back and say, well, I mean, you were going up against Laganja. There was no way you were going to win that just based off of like how amazing Laganja just was for the physical lip sync. The second one, honestly, I just felt like she just didn't have the temperature of the song as much. But no, I think it's interesting. We're seeing a character shift a little bit with Trinity, that she has like a little bit of power and influence and a little swagger. And I'm kind of here for it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And Amon, she really is now this like cheerleader telling Pandora, you got to be loud. You got to be louder than Eureka.
Yeah. It is really nice to see this arc with Trinity, because I mean, this is kind of what we were expecting from her, because you know, she had this whole thing with lack of self-confidence in areas that were not lip syncing on Drag Race the last time around, and now she's really proving herself to be a bit more of a well-rounded queen. And the thing that she seems to be failing the most at is the lip syncs, which All Stars lip syncs are so much different than you know, proper series lip syncs, because literally they have a queen on retainer that just comes to the lot to do one lip sync and then leave. They're not going through grueling hours of competitions and challenges and all that kind of stuff. So I don't even count these in the same league. But that being said, the Trinity, it felt like, I just don't know why that weight came off. I don't get it. It felt like she threw it to me, literally.
Yeah, literally through the wig. Okay. Well, let's jump into the next day in the workroom. And yes, we find out from Rue that it is going to be the Snatch Game of Love with Cheyenne Jackson. Well, I guess they don't know at that moment, but Cheyenne Jackson and Fortune Feimster are going to end up being the two bachelorettes that they will be competing for. And Tina Knowles Lawson as the judge, which I love the fact that Trinity K. Bonet said, that's like God and Beyonce is Jesus. Come on.
Yep. Everybody loves Miss Tina. Cause it feels like Beyonce's in the room with you. It's like, this is her mom. It's like, she's the creator of Beyonce. Like, come on. So mm-hmm. I would have had the exact same, mm-hmm. Reaction. And I love that even like RuPaul like acknowledges, you know, sort of like her star power. It's like, oh my goodness, we are so happy to have you here. It's like, yes, you better stand, bitch. You know what it is.
Yeah, that was really so nice good. To see. What a good get.
No, I seriously. Know. I was like, it's so crazy because like Beyonce is such a private person and she's like the celebrity of celebrity. So even just to have her mom on the show, everyone is like, oh, well, then that means that she must be watching the show because her and Miss Tina are so close. So they must have been talking about like, it's like, I would have thought like if I were on the season, I'd be like, oh my God, like what is, wait, are you going to go home and like talk about the
season
right now? Like what's happening? Yeah. Like,
well, it makes you kind of think too, like, oh my goodness, did she watch the halftime football show where mm-hmm. Trinity was Beyonce? And like, yes. But we're sitting here, we're like, we didn't get anything publicly either from Trinity or Beyonce that anything was said. So like, there's a part of me in there that's like, if I were Trinity, I'd be like, did you see me, Beyonce? Did mm-hmm. I do you proud, Beyonce? I love you, Beyonce.
I think she tweeted something to that effect or like something along those lines.
Oh, really?
So it's definitely running through her head for sure. Okay. And then, you know, really we have a pretty quick walkthrough with Rue going through, at least, I don't think she talked to all of the girls, but the subset of the girls to talk over. We get a little bit of foreshadowing, of course, the Trinity K. Bonet. Oh, you're going to do Whitney Houston, which of course, as soon as I heard that, Beth, my heart just went, and sunk to the ground.
How do you make Whitney Houston funny without being incredibly offensive? Like, yeah. No, honestly, like there's a way to do it that is not meant for this TV show. Like it's meant to be at a stand-up club or like at a drag show or something like that. It's not meant for VH1 like that. It's, I just don't understand or Paramount Plus. I'm sorry. It just, it doesn't make sense. Like I'm sitting back and thinking like, there's so many people you could be doing. And also, why try to do somebody that has been done before in the Snatch Game of Love and wasn't done? Like, it wasn't like it was just like on Snatch Game, like the regular one. And this one's a little different format. So you want to try it out. Like, literally, it was failed on Snatch Game of Love. So I don't understand the thought process here. I really wish that Trinity, like, yes, I know you should know by now. It's not about the look. The look is great. It's only a part of the illusion. It's about the character and making people laugh and being able to improv.
Yeah, I was I felt like I'd remembered RuPaul sort of admonishing someone else. I don't know if it was season 10, 11, when someone else was thinking about doing Whitney. And RuPaul had a lot of the same reservations about like, how are you going to just make fun of her drug use? Like, how are you going to make this funny? And that sort of like, it seemed like there was like a soft ban on Whitney Houston for the show. So I was sort of shocked when Trinity was like, yeah, I'm going to do it. But then she made me feel a little better when she said that she does, when she's out traveling on tour, she said she went all over Canada and did Whitney like 3 times a week. And I'm like, okay, do Canadians just not know who Whitney is? Because if that's what you were doing when you were in Canada, like, oh my God. Like,
to be fair, she's lip syncing a song. That's not doing Whitney. That's you dressing up like Whitney and parading around a stage.
Those are mm-hmm. two different things, madam. Mm-hmm. And there is a way to do Whitney and make it funny without leaning so heavily into her drug use. Like if there are any, like, I'm sure that there are probably fans of this podcast that already know about these shows that were on YouTube, that are on YouTube. One of them is called Got to Be Real. It's sort of like this, this girl, she went and found like a bunch of footage of a bunch of divas and their interviews. And then sort of like put them together to make it look as if they are all on a reality TV show together. So it's got like Beyonce, it's got Mariah Carey, Whitney Houston, Madonna, Britney Spears, like Christina, like just a bunch of divas. And they're like on like this catty reality television show. And the person that does Whitney, it's hilarious. So there is a way to do Whitney without being so, you know, talking about the cocaine and all that stuff. But you just have to, you have to really know a lot about Whitney and not just about her music. You have to know her life story. You have to know so much because there's so much material to pull from for Whitney. You just have to know where to, what to do. And I just feel like she just didn't have it.
And she didn't know what the references were herself.
Yeah.
Like, she didn't even know the songs or anything. I'm like, how? Like, I just, how are we like 7,000 seasons in and you still don't know how to choose a character?
At the very least, you need to have her cadence down. You need to have her mannerisms when speaking down. That's what you should have. And there were a few things here and there, but no, you really needed to go back to the drawing board, sis. It wasn't giving.
Mm-hmm. I mean, Whitney is so distinct too, right? That like, so, okay, even if you're not going to be funny, like maybe you want to at least see a good impression. Yeah. And I just, yeah, I feel like that was... Ugh. And Rue somewhat warned her, but I wanted Rue to push a little harder, honestly. But then after, it felt like Trinity was, okay, well, at least I have two wins. So when I end up in the bottom, I at least have two wins over the rest of these hoes and no one will send me home, kind of banking on that fact. And the thing is that I don't, and you know, we'll talk a little bit about all of the performances in more detail, although maybe we won't have a lot to say extra about Trinity, but you know, I don't blame her for not being quick-witted, right? Because that is challenging. That really is a skill. But then you kind of have to have more of those canned, prepared lines ready to go that you can just slip in different places. Have, you know, 15, whatever. And then you can just kind of plug and play with all of those. I actually thought when she did the... can you repeat the question? I thought that would have kind of been funny if she, I mean, not that it's Whitney really yet, but like it would have been the look over there. Then that kind of like becomes her thing where it's like, oh, I'm distracted. I don't know what to say, or I can't think that fast. Let me give myself a little bit of time by doing something that could potentially be comical after she got the laughs of the first one. But anyway, all right. So yeah, so Rue warns her, but
it's also one of those things too, where like the thing that you can do that's canned is take all the titles that you know of her songs, look at all of them, and then just come up with responses to any question that you can think of using song titles. Like, that can just be, like, that's what Alyssa does in All Stars 2 for Joan Crawford, just says, it's not even Joan Crawford, she's doing Mommy Dearest, which is about Joan Crawford, but it isn't actually starring Joan Crawford, right? So it's like her quoting things that no wire hangers ever, like, this isn't my first time at the snatch game, like, all you have to do is come up with stuff like that.
There are so many funny interviews from Whitney. Like, there was so much that you could have taken from. Well, I love, one of my favorite ones is like when someone is intentionally asking her about Mariah Carey and they're like, oh, so what do you think of Mariah Carey? And she's like, what do I think of her? I don't think of her. Like, that is just so funny. Like, if you had just, like, said off the dome, that kind of stuff, you would have reeled people in. Because I would have laughed at that, but it's just not. Oh, man. So, like, Whitney Houston was hilarious, okay?
Well, just, like, one of my favorite videos of her is her and Brandy singing The Impossible Dream, like, the rehearsal studio in the background where she's going,
why are you down there?
Why are you down there? Like, there's so much pep in her, and she's just like, impossible! Like, it's ridiculous.
She's so funny. She's so funny. I just feel like I feel like just Trinity's Whitney was just a little too joyless for me. It just didn't have enough zest, not enough power.
And a little lack of energy, right? And it's tough because, and let's just, you know what, like, screw it. Let's just jump on in. So I do, if you're watching the video version, have some screenshots of the queens and the looks that they procured for their different characters. And Trinity, you can see in this image, smack dab in the middle between, you know, two queens who I think arguably did the best this week. And so I'm not saying, in the same way that you have the Divine and Kim Cattrall sort of dynamic where it's like, oh, well, you know, or Eureka overpowered me. No, no, not necessarily. Yes, it just, it's challenging when you have two strong queens next to you. But that being said, there's still enough fault here that she clearly did on her own that I think just justifiably put her in the bottom.
The fact that we get one reference to I Will Always Love You when you have the songwriter and then the person that popularized it. That means, because we know that this gets edited down, right? So I'm like, how bad would that joke must have like crashed and burned that they didn't even put the most obvious of jokes in the edit? Like, is it really that bad? Damn
it. Well, to be fair, apparently Trinity didn't know half the song, so maybe she didn't even catch up on that or something. You know what I mean? Like, it's just...
I feel like if you're going to pick somebody that you're going to do them is for Snatch Game specifically, where like it's important that you kind of embody them. Don't you like really read about them? I don't know.
Watch it. Like Amon said, like there's lots of resources out there.
Yeah. Interviews, documentaries.
Listen to them. Exactly.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. Okay, well, so it was interesting because we got these different, pairings, right? So we're down to our final six. We have three and three queens. And that's one of the biggest differences between the Snatch Game of Love and regular Snatch Game is that instead of having all seven, eight queens, whatever, all together on the same stage, you only have these subgroups, which is fine when you have a strong subgroup like this, but I wanted to, like, I really felt that Ginger and Sonique truly carried the whole Snatch Game in general. So I almost would have loved to have seen all six of them together to have more of the banter and then also to be able to go to Ginger and Sonique, because I just felt like I was having such a great time with this first round and then not as much fun Amon in the second round.
Yeah, I did sort of want them all to be together for this. Like, I understand that it's a little different of the format with the Snatch of Love, whatever the hell it is. What is it? Snatch Game of Love.
Yeah.
Snatch of Love. I understand it's a little different, but I sort of it felt a little stilted to me because there were just three of them up on stage together. But I mean, yeah, they did do a pretty good job. I felt like Ginger, and obviously she did the best here, I did sort of feel like a lot of her stuff was, we did just talk about having some canned things to say, and that's always great. Some of her stuff seemed a little too canned. She did have some really great banter, like off the top of her head, when, you know, especially when at Trinity's expense, which was never really mean spirited, which I really enjoy, because there are some queens that will just overpower and just really go for the jugular, and then it just turns into like a very uncomfortable situation. So Ginger has this talent of keeping everything light, but there were some jokes that I was like, and I already roll my eyes at RuPaul half the time when he's laughing, but there were some times where I was like, okay, was it that funny? Like, that was kind of all right. But clearly she did the best, so I'm sort of just nitpicking at this point. I was just most shocked by Sonique. I did not expect that performance from her. And she really sounded like Dolly, too. Like, at moments, I was like, wait a second. Like, is this Dolly? Like, I was very surprised that she stayed in character the entire time. She was engaging. She was quick. She knew what she had to say. It sounded like stuff that Dolly would say, even if it wasn't. And yes, the three of them, while Trinity certainly sort of fell to the wayside, I still feel like they did such a good job together. It was great.
Mm-hmm. I think that this format, the reason why they do it like this, even though I don't think, do either of you care for this format over the normal Snatch Game? Like, I actually don't like the Snatch Game of Love. I would love it to be the normal Snatch Game.
I feel like I've come around on it. I feel like I really wasn't. I would think I was the most averse to it back in season four.
Okay.
And then season five was a little better, especially with Che Kule being Flavor Flav. That was hilarious. And I think
this is the best one I think they've done.
Exactly.
So
this is the best one. So I think that with that, that really helped me here. Really appreciate it a little bit more. I feel like I would like it a lot better if they just switched it up every All-Star season. So like, if you don't want to do the regular Snatch Game, do Snatch Game of Love, and then do another Snatch performance, like based off another reality show, like do Snatch Big Brother or something. You know what I mean? Like, that would be hilarious.
Well, I think the reason why they do it like this is that this is much harder than normal Snatch Game, which is already really difficult because you don't have time to rest. You are on much more constantly. You have much more that you have to say. You have many more moments of improvisation because there aren't six, seven, eight, nine people. It's only you and two other people. And this format does allow for people to cut each other off and interrupt each other more so than the normal Snatch game would, because that one's like, when you're called on, you'll do something. Yeah. And yes, this one is like, you know, contestant one, what would you say? But that doesn't stop people from making a comment about what you said. And while that does happen in the normal Snatch game, it's going to happen much more in this format. So like, I understand why.
Yeah.
It is one of those things that I will say, though, it's just kind of like, I agree with what Liana said. I wish that we could get all six of them together, because or they should have at the very least been like, all right, we know that Ginger's going to kill it. We know that that Eureka's going to kill it. So it was good to put them like, well, not kill it, but you know what I mean? Like, they're like, Eureka's good at this kind of thing. So it was good that they put them in two separate groups. I don't know how they could have made it better, to be honest with you, actually, now that I'm thinking about this. There's no way to strategically look at the cast unless you see what they're going to do and say, okay, mm-hmm. cool. Unless, you know what I mean? Otherwise, if I were them, I would have made, like, filming it. Even if they'd filmed this first, I would have made this one second, make it stronger as the closer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, don't lead with the best one, because then I'm going to have high expectations going into the next one and be disappointed. I think for me, it's just, I actually do like the banter between the queens and between all of the celebrities that they're choosing to play, which is why I personally prefer regular Snatch Game, just because you physically have all of them together. And so mm-hmm. I do like that. I actually didn't think about it from the perspective of, well, when you're doing regular Snatch Game, you get asked a question and then everybody answers, right? So you have time to formulate a response. Whereas when Trinity, for example, was asked the question, she's just like, you, boom, like you got to respond right away. That's tough. That's really, really hard. And maybe you get better comedy out of something where queens are given a little bit more time mm-hmm. to prepare. But I don't know. They're so similar to me that it's hard for me to decide.
Yeah. And I do think that like where you sit in the normal Snatch game makes a difference. Where you sit here really doesn't at the end mm-hmm. of the day. Because yes, they are going to go, okay, first, second, and third. But again, then it's right back to you. You don't have a whole bunch of other ones. The game show I think they should do next would be Hollywood Squares.
Yes, that's a good one. Because
then you can have nine queens. And that was all queens interact, or not queens, that was all celebrities interacting with each other. Mm-hmm. And that's an easy thing to have guests coming on. And like, you have the go-to phrases of like, you know, X gets the block, you know, like that kind of thing. Like,
yeah, the only thing with that is that you're still playing, it's a game within a game. You're playing tic-tac-toe, so you might not like get everybody, you know, like you want to put the people that are funniest in the center square, and then there's like some priority. So,
or do the weakest link.
Mm. Ooh, the weakest link. Oh my God. The shade of it all.
That would be so good. I just want to see RuPaul wear like the little glasses and like little blonde like pixie cut thing. Like, really into it.
Oh, the weakest link.
Goodbye.
Okay,
except for the UK.
Let's exactly, for Drag Race UK. All right, let's jump in. So we have the first three queens that we're talking about. So Ginger, Trinity, and Sonique. And we talked a lot about Trinity. Ginger, here to go off of what Aman was saying, I agree with him. Like, I actually wrote down, I felt like there were some canned lines, but then there was enough improvisation, like true, real improvisation, that it didn't bother me so much, because I felt like, okay, you're clearly demonstrating to me that you can do both. Like, yeah, you have the canned lines, but I'm okay with that because the physicality was so good. And then the, you know, the bouncing off of other queens. But, you know, I mean, Beth, she's your girl. What did you think here?
I agree with you with the canned lines, but I would actually say this is a rare situation where Phyllis Diller was a woman of canned lines. So that's actually true. Well in character with who she's playing. She was somebody, I mean, I don't know if y'all know her too well. I know my parents talked about Phyllis Diller a lot. My grandmother was a huge fan. So I'm not somebody who's incredibly well versed in her, but I know that, like, I mean, her mentor was Bob Hope. I mean, mm-hmm. she had, who was topical and did things with a reverence, but there was the same jokes over and over, you know what I mean? So there were those canned lines, and she was irreverent, but she was also like self-deprecating, and she had these abilities to, like, whenever she did a stand-up show, you knew what the joke. It's like doing Bianca Del Rio. You know what the jokes are going to be when you hear Bianca Del Rio. She's going to say the same joke 50,000 times, but it's going to be funny every single time. That's who Phyllis Diller was. And that's honestly kind of like what insult comics are at the end of the day. So I didn't mind the canned lines as much, because even though I could tell, I was like, oh, that's really in character. I thought she did a great job. She had the cackle down, that laugh she did that really well. And even in like this, like little freeze frame for those that are watching the video, you can see like she was always in character when she was looking around, and had like her little, you know, cigarette thing and that kind of thing. And the one area that I think she outshone Sonique, who I think was a really close second, I wouldn't have been mad if Sonique won this week, was clearly there was a little bit in Sonique's face that betrayed her, that was like, I'm thinking and I'm improvising in this moment. Like you could see it in her face. It was like, I'm going to say this. Okay, now I've got it. And then like she would kind of roll with the rest of the line. You didn't get any of that. It was really natural. I'm going to jump in and say this kind of thing with Ginger. And that's the only area that I think that she did better with this challenge. But I was really all in with her. I was really proud of her. She is the second person besides Ben de la Creme to win 2 Snatch games. So great work.
Mm-hmm. And I think for Sonique here, I actually completely forgot about this. We're reminded that she was the first queen to go home from a snatch game. So yeah, to see her come back and really do such a great job, Amon, it warms my heart. Like she learned, she did it. I'm proud of her.
Yep. She really did. And she, I loved that she did, that she made reference to the fingernail percussion thing that, Dolly Parton did. I love that video of her and Patti LaBelle like doing that together and singing. I was like, oh, so you did your research, you know, you came prepared, you knew what you wanted to say, you knew how to exude this character, and it was fairly entertaining. Like I found myself wanting RuPaul to ask Sonique more questions because I just wanted to hear what she was going to say. Mm-hmm. This was a really shining moment for her.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And there were just a few lines that I wanted to take into my everyday life. Like, I love that I can look at the map. Doesn't mean I'm going on a trip from her entrance line. I thought that was great.
Oh, good. Yes. So good.
Okay. Yes. And what Amon was saying earlier, that the look was so fun as well. You know, the bigger the hair, the closer to God. So like, go for it, girl.
You know, I really wish, I think what the producers / RuPaul had to sit back and say is, okay, Ginger and Sonique both did really well. The runways were solid. Like, who do we choose? Who's going to win? Who's going to outshine the other? It's either, do we make another 2-time snatch winner, which ended up like not even making it into the edit that she like has, this is her second snatch game win. Like they didn't even mention that.
Mm-hmm.
Or do we do the first person ever to be sent home from the snatch game has a redemption arc? Like, and I'm interested as to why Ginger wins this when they spend so much time talking about Sonique not doing well and getting sent home in season 2 and then crushing it here. It just was interesting. Like I felt like that was in the discussion there. And then they were like, oh, we didn't do enough for like for Ginger's portion.
I think you can. Yeah. Well, I think that's the thing is that I think Sonique ended up getting enough praise that she had that redemption arc without getting the win. Yeah. Like it wasn't necessary, especially when you did so bad that you went home. And the first girl to go home on Snatch Game, then it ends up, I think, being justified that, like, you good. You got your redemption. We're fine. Yeah.
Hey, it's Rob. It was an amazing week of Survivor, and we had incredible podcasts with Christian Hubicki and Steven on the Know It Alls. Make sure you catch those as well. Plus, The Circle was back this week with an AI contestant. Taryn, Mike Bloom, and Puya broke down the first week of drops from The Circle and on Renap. Who did Sam Moore find for the big guest? Find out on this week's Rob and Akiva Need a Podcast, all right here on RHAP. We know reality TV.
Let's talk about the second group to perform. And of course, for anybody who wonders, Cheyenne Jackson with the first group. And this is going to be Fortune Feimster here with the second group. And this was Eureka as Divine, Pandora as Kim Cattrall, and Raja as LaToya Jackson. Of these three, Beth, who do you think did the best job?
Okay, so the person who made me the laugh the most was different from who I think did like the best job of representing their character. Mm. The person who made me laugh the most was Raja as LaToya Jackson. Like, and the reason why it was funny to me was because I do believe that she has like, LaToya is one of those people that just like, comes across kind of ditzy and says something, but then means the opposite thing. Like, and it's just like, it's so funny to me. And I felt like she kind of nailed it, but she didn't do like, it wasn't like in the way that like Sonique and Ginger really nailed this challenge with smart things. It was just like, it was basically what I think it was Amon earlier said, like, why not just say things like, or like, or like, or Liana, when you were like, when Trinity could have had like those moments of like, mm-hmm. you know, the look over there kind of thing. Like, I mean, that's what Raja does this entire time is basically the look over there strategy. I do think the best person in embodying their character was Pandora. No, I'm just kidding. It was Eureka. I really feel like, you know, we get a better sense of Divine for those who might not know, but I kind of wish that there was like some reference to like Ursula or something, you know, they designed a whole
might not been in the contract.
Villain. I mean, that's true. But like, designed a whole Disney villain. They can have the Muppets in the first episode, but they can't talk about Ursula. Like, what's happening? So it's just interesting situation. And just Kim Cattrall, I do think is a good character to do. I just don't think it was executed in a good way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Amon, I think that this group overall to me was, you know, like the worst group overall, because I did think that to Beth's point about like while Eureka probably did the best characterization, although it was very narrow, like a very mm-hmm. narrow characterization of Divine.
Mm-hmm.
I guess it was the best. I don't know. Raja also just made me laugh.
I think Raja was very smart this round. She really took to heart what Rue had to say during the walkthrough. She literally replicated the joke that Rue gave her twice when yep. Rue talked about, yeah, you know, mm-hmm. LaToya comes in and then she'll say, oh, I like this, but I don't like that. Mm-hmm. And Raja told two or three of those and Rue lost his mind each time. So she really was in her pocket for this. And I think that's the way to play. So honestly, if Raja would have won, I would have felt a little bad for Ginger and for Sonique, but I would have been like, oh no, bitch, you deserve that because you played to your strengths, which was, you know, we know the name of the game, make Rue laugh. And you were making him laugh because your jokes were timely and they showed that you were paying attention. So I found myself laughing a lot at Raja too. Just, you know, that she got the general air of LaToya Jackson down. Like, I don't really know too much about LaToya. I mean, I've seen a few interviews. And I know what she sounds like. I know how she speaks. So I definitely got the characterization there. And it was just one of those moments where as long as you have the characterization down, no matter what comes out of your mouth, it's going to be funny because that therein lies the humor. So that's what you really want to be. You want to have characters that are like that. That's like where the money is. And yeah, Divine was a safe choice for Eureka. I think that's ultimately why she's not going to win here. Aside from the fact that I think that Ginger and Sonique were just a little better. I think that we know that Eureka does Divine. We know that Eureka is extremely influenced by Divine. It looks up to her. So I guess we're really expecting a lot. And they kind of gave her an edit that seemed like she was being a little bit of an overbearing person. Eureka did tweet about this. She said, OMG, you guys, yesterday I had a terrible experience on an airplane, then got in my feelings about this snatch game. I didn't get what I want and already had my feelings hurt from this plane. I just been in my feelings since. Girl, I'm going to go self-love today. And then she went in to talk about how they cut a lot of the stuff that she had planned. She had so much more. I posted about the Vine edit in a week. Insecure moment. Truth is, I put my expectations on moments they would hopefully use. They didn't, but I'm still happy I was able to do Divine. It's such an honor. I've dreamed of playing her since season 9. So she's been waiting for this moment, and maybe we didn't see everything, but if what we did see was a composite of what you were offering, I still think you were going to lose. But, you know, as long as you were happy with your performance, that's all that really matters.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think with Divine, it's difficult also because for someone who's such an icon within this community, especially, that has like such a unique air about them. How do you not only embody that, but then also do within the context of something like Snatch Game too? I don't know. It just feels like a weird matchup, but I totally get why she did it. Right. I totally understand that. Mm-hmm. Understand the decision. So I can't really be mad here. And I think ultimately Safe was probably the right decision for Eureka.
I also think that she didn't have anybody to banter with. Like, I feel like if she had been up there with a Ginger or a Sonique, this could have been way better for her, and she would have had more material to go off. What's she going to do? Pandora going, oh my God, I love sex. Like, what are you going to do with that other than what you already did? What are you going to do with Raja going, I like sex, but I'm celibate? Like, I mean, like, what are you going to, like, do with
it? Oh, that just reminded me the mom, like, the dad beating the mom joke was just so off color. Oh, yeah. My. Like, no, she did not handle that well at all.
Oh, that is, like, the fact that she had so much that they didn't put in there, and then they put that in there, I was like, whoa. And then on top of the fact that there was, like, it literally was dead silent. Like, the music stopped, like, for being, like, nobody said anything.
Oh,
and I was like,
it was awkward.
It's like, ain't nobody trying to get canceled by the Jacksons.
Oh man. So the main things that I remember from, because LaToya was a judge on, I want to say, season 5, maybe.
That sounds,
I thought you
familiar.
Meant like a judge in real life.
Oh,
like,
God.
She's a magistrate.
No. Get the wigs and all that, the robes. No. On RuPaul's Drag Race. And I just remember her being like in love with everything that was happening. Like, I love glitter and all of that. And it was just a joy. And that's like my one like true defining memory. But I look, we got to touch on Pandora because, oh boy. Do we? I mean,
I'm gonna just come out and say, I don't know who Kim Cattrall is. And after watching Pandora do this, I had no inclination to go and watch who Kim Cattrall is.
You've never seen Sex in the City?
I've never seen Sex in the City. Sorry.
No, it's okay. It's not meant for everybody. Kim Cattrall plays the older, there's like four women. She plays the older woman who's very promiscuous, sex positive, loves sex, like doesn't want to be tied down in a relationship, considered a cougar, like all these different kinds of things, right? And she has this deeper voice and she talks like this the entire time. That's the character that she plays. I mean, there's a lot of people who when they play the character, because they can't do licensed characters, they do the actor. And that's what I would do. I've said this many, many times. If I were to do Snatch Game, I would be Megan Mullally, but I would be Karen Walker from Will and Grace. Like, that's what I would do. And so she was doing a similar thing with Kim Cattrall here. And there's a way to do this. It's just like, she had no comebacks and she clearly just didn't know how to like manage this character. It was boring.
The biggest thing too is that Kim Cattrall has this potentially unearned confidence, but just exudes confidence and sexual energy and just is like that bitch. And Pandora, you could see, was so nervous. And when you're playing a character that is incredibly confident and you look nervous, I mean, that's like just fundamentally to who Kim like comes across to me as. And so it just really missed the mark. It did feel repetitive. And this is even, it's tough because it's like, oh, well, you have someone who was so successful the first time they did it. And so the kind of natural inclination is to want to compare. No. I don't even for Carol Channing was so, you know, that was season 2. Like, it's been a long time and I'm looking at what Pandora gave from this, just based on this. And it just felt tired and boring. Yeah. And yeah.
I felt uninspired.
I felt bad for her. And we kind of touched on this, I think, last week, of just Pandora in general feeling a little bit uninspired this season.
Yeah.
I don't know. It definitely came across in the Snatch Game.
I just wish that she had stuck with somebody who is campy, because that's who she is. Yes. Like, that's who Carol Channing is, right? You know who she should have done? She should have like stayed in her wheelhouse, accepted that she probably wouldn't win with this, but she would be at least safe. She should have done Ethel Merman. Mm-hmm. Like, she should have done another Broadway diva from back in the day who has a distinct voice and things that she can do with it. You know, like, I mean, there's like, there's so much she can do.
Yeah. I mean, especially when you That's tough, because especially when you get to that, we're at the final freaking six. Like, this isn't final nine, final eight, like, where it's a, maybe a little bit easier to try to take a risk, but it's okay. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is down to the wire, and especially when you're going based on previous track records and you haven't won anything, like, bad choice.
Yeah, it's this whole thing. I think we touched on it last week, too. It just feels like she got the call to come back. Obviously, thought that she wanted to, and she came back, and maybe when she got there was just a little bit different than what she'd anticipated. Mm-hmm. And she hasn't been on the show in such a long time. The crew is different. There are so many more queens that she probably had to meet for the first time after all of these majorly successful queens, some of them just coming back. So maybe it just didn't feel like what she'd envisioned. And I feel like in a lot of ways that sort of like took the air out of her wings. Cause she's so, you know, she's so underspoken, and it's not just the edit, cause the queens are like that, say the exact same thing. Like, you're not, you kind of just fade. I think that she just sort of started coasting. I think that she wanted to make it far, and she certainly had her shining moments where she was doing very well. But I feel like maybe her very well was season two amazing and not All Star Six good. So
I think another thing to your point, Aman, that's important to note is that it's like when you come on Drag Race, you can, okay, let me rephrase. The analogy I'm thinking of is like, just because an athlete has a bad game doesn't mean they're a bad athlete.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And I feel like that with a lot of queens sometimes is that just because they had a bad game doesn't mean they're a bad drag queen. Right. And especially mm-hmm. within the confines of Drag Race. So, you know, Pandora is funny and does funny things and is this great campy queen. It's just something about this season isn't coming across and isn't exactly translating.
Mm-hmm. I would also say that the format and the judging for Drag Race are not conducive for some of these queens now. We have a very specific kind of image of when we think of successful kinds of queens. And yes, we've had different queens. We've had Evie Oddly, who didn't check a lot of those boxes. But Evie was so special enough in her own way that she stood out, you know. But it's really about the Gigi Goods and the Aquarias and that kind of thing. And that's why I appreciate when people recognize that this is just one very small little box of drag that is being evaluated mm-hmm. and judged, and people are changing what they would normally do to try to fit the parameters and what is normally successful on this show. And people who take risks either are rewarded heavily for it or get sent home. And that is just the nature of this show. And there's other wonderful drag reality competition shows like Dragula or Camp Wanakiki or whatever that are out there. And I just think that the show has evolved in a way that hasn't kept up with queens like Pandora. It's why, honestly, I feel bad that I don't think we'll ever see like Mrs. Kasha Davis on here, for example. Like I've seen her live multiple times. I've laughed more at her. The only queen I've laughed more at in person is Ginger. I know that's a shocker, but like I've seen Bianca Del Rio in person. I've laughed more at Ginger and Mrs. Kasha Davis and Darian Lake. I've laughed at all of them much more than I ever did at Bianca. Like, we have an understanding of what people do really well only based off of a very small window of 15 minutes of fame.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, speaking of, I don't know what my transition was going to be there, because I really need to talk about the fact that Fortune Feimster chose no one and then proposed to Cheyenne Jackson. At least I will say this was not as weird as when RuPaul had the really weird makeout scene with Cheyenne Jackson from...
No, do you guys Boyer Chapman?
Oh, it was Jeffrey Boyer Chapman. Okay, yeah. I couldn't remember. I lumped them together in my brain for some reason. Because like they were both together on one episode. And that's like, anyway, whatever. All right.
Yeah, done that a few times with Jeffrey, too. He's trying to get it in.
Yes. So so this was definitely less awkward than that. So I just want to point that out.
I prefer Fortune and Cheyenne over RuPaul and Jeffrey Boyer Chapman any day.
Oh, I thought they were so fun. I thought both of them were really fun. They can come back on Drag Race anytime, as far as I'm concerned. Mm-hmm. Alrighty. Then the next thing, honestly, there's not much in the workroom segment in between. You know, we get a little bit about how the queens are feeling with regards to their performances. Trinity is like, thank God I have the wins, you know, some discussion about how Eureka is going to be perceived. But really, then we just jump right on into the runway. I mean, I don't know if there's anything you guys want to say. Otherwise, we got some pop art to talk about.
It's a bold strategy to rely on the wins when Manila fully got chopped because of that a couple of seasons ago. Like, that's bold.
And after you just cut in. Like,
yeah, ooh. Like, what the heck? Girl.
Yeah, well, I did think there was a brief second where I thought Ginger was going to do it, that she was going to cut Trinity here.
I would have been on Twitter right then and there, be like, I did it, and
now what? I'm the only queen with two wins, and you know,
and what about like, it
I want to win,
and guess what, I'm not going to see my ass in the bottom because I am better than that. Like, I would have just been like,
work. Minge, just some straight minge. That's what we're going to be talking about. Yeah, I mean, let's go for it. Let's talk about the runway. So pop art was the theme this week. And I just, my overall impression, Amon, was that they Googled pop art and then the Madonna pop art faces came up. And then everybody essentially just did that because it felt like a little bit of a kimono and she better don't situation with just everybody putting their faces on outfits and calling it a day.
Yeah, I think that mosaic is like one of the most popular Warholian, you know, art or pop art, you know, pieces. Mm-hmm. I'm a big fan of pop art. I'm a big Andy Warhol fan. He is a fellow Pittsburgh native. We almost named our high school after him. Without Andy Warhol. So yeah, I loved this theme. I think that Ginger's is cute. It did grow tiresome seeing a bunch of these. This sort of get recycled throughout the rest of the outfits. You know, people just need to embrace the color. That's the big hallmark thing for me about pop art is just the combinations of color and the neon and the, it pops out at you. And you don't have to do the faces. You can do any kind of design. Just incorporate the colors, make them tantalizing to the eye. The hair is definitely so fun. So fun. I just love how both 2D and 3D it looks. And I think that she sold it when walking down the runway as well. So she definitely benefits a lot by going first. Because had she gone maybe last, I'd have been like, oh, it's cute, but I've seen it before.
And you know what? I need to look at when the other queens come about. But something, I mean, Michelle pointed out, oh, I like that you have the two different colored boots. And I'm like, well, yeah, but she also has two different colored gloves, and each of those colors represent one of the wigs that's on one of the pop arts. And the orange is different for everything. I think there's a lot here that's really smart, rather than just, I put myself 100 times on my outfit. Mm-hmm. And I think that those little things really make a difference. I mean, she's wearing the same exact color lipstick as she did in all the photos, and that's the only thing that's, you know, basically the same in terms of color in all the different photos. And I love that she walks down with the frame. The only thing that I would have liked with the frame more is if it had been just a plain white frame, because it's weird that you should be like another one of the photos. Why is it purple with gold? Like, that to me was like a little weird. But I love this, and got a lot of comic book feels out of things too with this, which I'm not mad about. And I don't know much about art. So if that is literally what art is supposed to be, as comic book style, then I've been message received. Good job.
It's definitely a little bit more than that. It is, like Amon said, all kind of about the bright colors, like really bright colors, like Andy Warhol's, like the Campbell's soup can, right? Not necessarily like comic-y, but it is pop art. I think Ginger probably did the best out of all of them. I mean, we'll go through everybody's looks and maybe I'll change my mind by the end. But because of all those details, I think then it worked. And I love though just walking with her arms straight out and then standing on the runway at the end with her arms straight out.
Actually, good for you. That is tiresome.
Yeah, that's hard. So I liked it. It was cute.
Survivor endurance challenge.
Here, I got you a definition, Beth.
Thank
you. Pop art is an art movement that emerged in the United Kingdom and United States during the mid to late 1950s. The movement presented a challenge to traditions of fine art by including imagery from popular and mass culture, such as advertising, comic books, and mundane mass-produced objects, i.e. that soup can. Mm-hmm. One of its aims is to use images of popular, as opposed to elitist, culture in art, emphasizing the banal or kitschy elements of any culture, most often through the use of irony.
That is helpful. So that does make sense that I didn't know if comic books had derived their style because of pop art. But it's the other way around, it seems like. That's really cool. I really like that.
Okay. Well, speaking of pop culture, I guess. I guess she's Sonique is representing herself with her face on her dress, very much in the popular zeitgeist.
Yeah. I mean, it is advertising, hey.
Yes, it's absolutely advertising for yourself, but you know what? I love it. And this wig also, I don't know, Beth, I'm just weirdly obsessed with this wig.
Oh, so I'm not. I keep seeing, like, especially
the hairline.
Yes! What is that?
Yeah. I didn't mean obsessed necessarily in a good way.
Oh, okay.
Well, I just mean I can't stop staring at it.
You know, the wig is definitely popping somewhere.
This is the nicest wig at the Spirit Halloween store. Like, that's what this wig gives me, which was like, I styled it the best. It was the $50 wig versus the $25 one. And it just, like, it's obvious that it's a wig to me. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it doesn't come across as like, I don't get in the illusion of the hair. That said, I will say I love the dress and I love the like faux fur.
Shawl.
I think it's really cute. I love the like the pop of colors and such, but I would still, I think that maybe this is potentially why Ginger wins over her too, is I do think that Ginger's runway is stronger.
I would co-sign that as well.
It kind of looks like promo material for either this season or season 11
or DragCon.
DragCon, that's kind of what it looks like a repurposed DragCon look.
You know what? Yeah. I'm waiting for RuPaul to get tired of coming up with a category and going, category is DragCon coming to New York City September 29th. And like, category is come up with a category.
It should be just after all of Ru's songs, right? So like each category is based on a song.
All right. This the RuPaul ball. Is that what's
The RuPaul like, ball. Category is.
Category is.
Okay. Let's talk about the next look with faces on it. And that's Eureka's. This is where I was like, after I had seen Ginger's and then I saw this one, I was like, oh, okay, I like Ginger's way more, Bev.
Yeah, I like Ginger's way more because the pictures themselves were actually more in the pop art style that I'm used to seeing. This is pop art and in what Aman is shown out, but it's more just like this, I don't know how to say it, like it doesn't have the stylistic shading that like Ginger's had that we see here. It's just like a photograph over and over. I do like the 60s inspired kind of baby doll dress
mod,
like
era,
mod
yeah.
style with like the pop of white. I love that like baby blue and all that kind of stuff. But to me, I don't get pop art as much as I get mod clown.
Okay, yeah, I see that.
Yeah, I think it does. I think it's a little bit too pastel-y. You know what I mean? It's giving me more Easter than it is pop art. I mean, it clearly is, but I think when you compare it to Ginger's, it kind of pales, literally, in comparison.
Yeah.
it's a great effort, and I think it's a beautiful garment, but it does not take the cake here for me.
Yeah. And I
kind of wish that whatever she has on her arms and legs, like whether that's like latex or stretch material and something, I wish that those were all different colors or something. I don't know. Mm-hmm.
What Ginger did, like match the glove, the boots, the colors.
Yeah.
Okay.
I wish, one more thing.
Yeah, yeah.
The purse, how it's I love the little flap that's folded over that shows like a different side of the wig because of the fabric or whatever. If that had been all the photos where like the top half on a diagonal length is one color wig and the other one's the bottom, that elevates it to me. I know that's just by circumstance of the of like the prop she's holding, but I feel like that would have made it a little bit more pop art to me by having, you know, the stylistic clash of colors that are, you know, kind of more popping in your face, but
It gives it more dimensionality, right? Because I think it feels a little flat, especially because the pictures are just alternating. They're not even offset with one another. So it just like looks repetitive. Okay, let's talk about Pandora Box's look, who also had a bunch of pictures of her face on her. But this one had some more accessories on with the whole like Box XX thing and the purse and all of that. And it was a cape with the dress underneath.
Yeah, this was fun from Pandora because I think we've sort of been critiquing her runways. They all felt a little, this is the 10,000th time that she's wearing this. Like nothing really felt fresh. This felt fresher to me, but it also still gave me Pandora, you know? Yeah, I mean, I do think that there's like a little bit of missed opportunity with that prime real estate with the dress that she's wearing. I feel like there could have been more there to really give us that push, especially when it's being covered by the shawl, which within itself, it moves out of the way when she has her arms forward. So you kind of miss all of the dimension. But I do love the fascinator, if you can call it that, on her head. And I love the boots and I love the little box she's carrying. It's dipping a little bit into Halloween costume. I don't know. Maybe I'm just subconsciously thinking that she's walking around trick or treating with that bag. I don't know. But
I need a bigger bag than that if I'm going trick or treating.
You ain't said nothing but a word.
I don't hate this at all. But I do think again that this is nothing in comparison to what Ginger was able to do in terms of like every little like detail thought out. If I were her, I would have done, instead of a photo of myself, I would have done the like, you know, soup can kind of thought, but instead of a suit, make it boxes and make that you have it, that underdress area. What if it opened up like a box or something and there was something else underneath it? Like, I just think that there's things there
a
that like, make your pop art like you're a box. Like, if you're pointing for box, 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 open me, like, do something that's like that and have like the photos be of, I don't know, like a U-Haul box or something. I don't know, something like a moving box or something. I don't know, something stupid that's like everyday item that people use, like a soup can kind of thing, you know? And stylistically play up that pun because you did it twice, but it doesn't, besides the purse, it doesn't really make sense other than your name. Like, play more puns on top of it is what I would have done and would have used that real estate, like you said, Amon, on her dress a little bit more. Also, her boots like are so friggin' boring compared to the rest of her outfit. Like, I wish that they had something on them, whether it was like another sign or were more, you know, a brighter color or something. I don't know. Also, I'm sick of this red wig. Like, she's only been wearing red wigs.
It's a lot. It's a lot. So. I it's funny to hear you give all of those like really creative ideas, Beth, because and especially going off of after Amon reading the definition. Yeah, it totally makes sense. That would be really cool. And then I could hear the judges being like, well, this doesn't really scream pop art to me. And be like, shut up, judges. What do you know? Okay, let's talk about Raja, who also has her face, this time just one big on the back and then one on the fan. And this outfit, I think she got probably the most critiques, Amon, out of all of the queens, because I think they felt it wasn't enough pop arty.
Yeah, it's just a little too monochromatic. I mean, it's a good looking outfit. It's beautiful. I think we're also subtracting a couple of points because we've seen the boots before. They're in her promo look, or in her entrance look rather. So we're sort of, you know, which is, you know, I'm not knocking the queens because, you know, people don't always got money for to be having all sorts of expenses. So, but I do think that it sort of like takes away from the illusion. So there's that. And yeah, just it's just a little bit too much purple without enough pop. Just not the fan is popping off. That's cute. And the face on the back is cute, but it's just not enough. It feels like this was an outfit for something else, and she just tacked on a few things.
I wish that she had done more. If you're going to advertise yourself, if that's what you're doing for, like, here are my catchphrases, here's me in the, like, I'm not gagging, that kind of thing. I wish it was just like an outfit made of all of the phrases and faces that she made in a confessional or something like that. Like, that, not in the style that everybody else did, with that, like, you know, like it's the same photo kind of thing, but I wish there had been more and that they'd been different colors and such. Fine to make purple your base color, but like you said, Amon, like pop off some other, I'm saying the word pop, like if you had to do a drinking game right now and you were saying every time Beth and Amon and Eliana say pop, we're going to take a drink.
Pop, yeah. Oh no, don't die. I hear everything that y'all are saying. I think especially because the gag and sticker pop feels like it's just popped on there. and it just really doesn't pop off the screen for me. So I would, I would have to take away some points here from Raja, but I like all the individual pieces. I just feel like it doesn't really work for this runway.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I agree.
Okay, the, I think, last queen that we're going to be talking about is Trinity K. Bonet. I will say this was probably my favorite look on the runway. You know, obviously love that she's doing the Black Lives Matter, but the thing that really got me, not only because she had the message on the dress and with the sign, is the detailing on the makeup, that it matched. Her makeup was the style, the pop art, like kind of what Beth, you were saying about the comic book style makeup. Mm-hmm. And yeah. I think that just worked really well. And I love that attention to detail.
It was so cool. This, I completely agree. I think that, like, where Ginger's, like, even though I really loved it and I do think, like, she deserves to win this week, like, where she meets the requirements, like, Trinity, like, exceeds them. Like, she's able to say, I understand what pop art is, let me do something that has a message that is fashion forward and unique that I can tailor my specific makeup skills to and have it all cohesive. I love the hair with this. The little sunglasses, the little tip to Andy Warhol with the sunglasses, like mm-hmm. there's so many elements here that are delicious to look at that I absolutely love. And honestly, it's like, yes, it's about the color, but it's actually in her outfit, it's more about where the color isn't. And I think that's really interesting. Where's the black? And how does that make the texture, the dimensions of the outfit? And I think that that's really amazing, especially because it tailors right in to the Black Lives Matter sign. And I might be doing a stretch there. That's what I got out of it. But I thought that was really, really cool to make the focus of the dress, like, about the black detailing rather than just the pop of the color.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I totally agree. I think, the clear reference to comic book art. It reminds me so much of the Marvel Ultimate series. Like, so many of their artists would draw the characters like this on those comic books. And I also love that it's a little bit anachronistic, not in the sense mm-hmm. that, like, because the civil rights movement has been, you know, obviously was a big thing back in the 50s and 60s, but, like, specifically Black Lives Matter is a very new thing in, you know, the social justice atmosphere right now. So I sort of love this sort of, like, amalgamation of, like, 1950s art, where Black lives were still not being treated well, with this new age Black Lives Matter, like, sort of advertisement. I thought that was just, like, such a nice little, you know, just a reminder of, like, hey, we still got a long way to go. We've been dealing with this shit for a long, long time, bitch, and we got to keep on going. So I just love that she made the political statement, but I love that she did it in such a refreshing, really cool way that isn't too preachy, mm-hmm. which is, like, dare I say, a little fun. Like, Black Lives Matter, I wouldn't describe it as, like, a fun movement, but in some way, Trinity made it fun. So I really enjoyed that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, fun and was able to weave it well into the pop art. And especially, again, with the whole that, well, pop art is pop mm-hmm. culture. It's what's going on right now. And to emphasize that, and then to especially have both Black Lives Matter and Black Trans Lives Matter, I think to incorporate both of those, I think was really great. Mm-hmm. So I really love this look. unfortunately for her, it was not enough to keep her out of the bottom, as both her and Pandora are in the bottom this week with Ginger as our ultimate winner here. And, you know, this is where Pandora was in the bottom last week and Trinity is just coming off of a win. It did feel a little bit to me with the conversations in the workroom like it was a foregone conclusion, especially the fact that it was a tie last week, right? Mm-hmm. So meaning that there were queens like Eureka and Ginger, who has, you know, a lot of power this week, willing to send her home, Beth. And yeah. I don't know. There, like I said, there was only that brief moment where I thought maybe she would pull a Manila or a Naomi Smalls, but ultimately not. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I just think the writing's on the wall. This is one of those ones that is just so clear cut who needs to go home if you're playing the game, quote unquote, fairly. Mm. Which they have been this season. This season has not been about strategy.
Yeah, I was, which I'm sort of like, I feel like I was sold just a small little bill of goods because the queens were hyping this up. And I feel like production was also hyping this up. It's like, this is going to be such a drama filled season. We were going to get so much clash. And there were a few tiffs here and there, but for the most part, I feel like this was fine. You know, I enjoy it better than All Stars 5.
Literally in Untucked, they talk about the fact that there's been no drama. So like, don't come to me saying that there's conflict and drama when the queens themselves in the season are saying it's not happening.
The only conflict and drama is the stuff that's produced in the portion of the game. Like, it's not coming from the queens themselves. And I think a lot of that is very intentional in the queens that we have this season. These are a lot of queens that were brought back because they had a lot of drama on the way that they exited their seasons and are conscious of the fact that they want to come back and not make that a part of their narrative. And they're thriving because of it. You look at people like Raja, you look at people who, like, I mean, honestly, who's like, I think the only person left on this season who I don't think of drama when I think of them is Sonique. Because even Pandora, I think of All Stars 1 with Mimi, I'm first. In my opinion, she's the full reason why they went home. Mimi's not. Like, so there's a lot of aspects here. There's this idea of like redemption and showing your better self and showing your talents and letting that speak for itself, that this queen, this like set of queens fully understands and wants to try to get across. So don't come at us like you're saying with this is so drama. Look at the queens we have who are on this season and then like not provide it.
Yep. And I mean, let's talk about the lip sync. So we get Sugar Walls is the song and Heidi in Closet comes back. And I'm happy to see her. I was a little surprised, Amon, but happy ultimately that she came back.
Yeah, because I don't really consider her a lip sync assassin, but let's be honest, like they're really starting to, they've done so many at this point. At some point, you're going to start getting repeats, or you just got to start getting people that are not considered necessarily assassins. But it was great to see her. I mean, her wig also did not want to stay on, so the curse of the wig continues, it seems.
It was clearly a reveal too, which was sad.
Yeah,
that's the sad part about it, because you could tell that she was like, "Oh shit!" Like it's like, well, if it falls off, it falls off. But damn.
Well, and this is, you know, another song. It's funny because Ginger in Untucked was like, "Oh yeah, it's a sexy song," and then she, you know, again does her Ginger thing, taking the comedy approach. But I felt it worked. I felt also, the few little things from Heidi was like, okay, I'm not upset that Ginger ultimately ended up winning this lip sync.
Yeah. I wouldn't find if either one of them won.
Yeah, right. Yeah, for sure.
Bitches won a lot of money. Where's she at now?
Bitches won like $50,000 because she won $30,000 from the first one and $20,000 from this next one. I was like, that's what I
won $5,000 for winning the challenge. And like, you know what I mean? Like, so there's all these other dollars. I'm like, at this point, you better like.
Yeah, it's like half the money that you win for
winning
the show.
At this point, if you don't,
they
win,
should take her out now.
Like, you have like, enough.
Eliminate her ass.
If she wins this season, That's going to be a fun statistic for her. I won the most money ever on Drag Race.
Okay, I know they keep that stat for the challenge where it's like who's won the most money on the challenge. They should start doing that for Drag Race now, because Ginger would be like when Bananas took the money. Like, she's like shot up to the top. Like, she's now by far and away like the most highest earning person on Drag Race. Just got to be. I mean, from two lip syncs alone. That's so wild to me.
I have to imagine the person who's won the most money is Alaska at this point.
Ultimately.
She was raking it in.
She was raking it
in. I'll give you $10,000 if you...
I'll PayPal you. That's possible. Someone do the math. Let me know. If that ever... I'm sure it'll pop up on Reddit maybe at some point. I'll find out. Okay, so Pandora ultimately is sent home. Ginger ends up sending her home here with Ginger winning the lip sync. And... preview for next week, still not the game within a game, but the game within a game still, I guess, going on, because next week we're going to get these live action characters that visit the land of Drag Tots, which I think is the Netflix show, right? The one on Netflix?
Yeah.
I don't think it did very well.
No, because it was shit. That's why. Okay. So bad. I watched one episode and I was like, I'm never watching that again. That and like this drag superhero one was god awful. It was clearly it was something that was made, I think, in Brazil originally. And they were like, let's remake it here in America. Mm-hmm. And it was just sex jokes, but it wasn't even like they were funny sex jokes. Like, you remember, did you guys ever watch SNL like in the 90s, early 2000s, when they had like the drawings every once in a while, like a drawing sketch? And it was like the ambiguously gay duo. Mm. Like, and like everything there was like supposed to be funny because they're like, not gay, but they are gay, like kind of thing. This was just like, what if everything is a penis? Like, it just like got to a point where I was like, this is just like if a bachelorette party decided to be a cartoon. Oh, like, great. That's just what it ended up being.
Okay. So good recommendations there from Beth. Thanks for enlightening us if we're looking for something to watch. So yeah, I mean, like, what the hell? Drag Race? What is this game within a game? When is it going to happen? Obviously, it's on next week. So is it the week after that? Like, I'm honestly, I was going to say, I'm starting to get annoyed. I'm annoyed.
My roommate apparently knows what it is, and I've been so stalwart about like not getting spoiled this season. At this point, I might just be like, all right, tell me what the hell it is. Because at this point, we're not going to know next week, which means we have to find out if I'm assuming they're doing a final four for the finale, right? So we got to find out at some point, which HP thinks that it's probably not going to be somebody coming back, because why would you bring somebody back at final five?
That's what they did in Survivor, and I'm convinced that this is Edge of Extinction.
Oh no. Chris,
because why would you want them all to stay in Sequestria if you weren't going to bring one of them back? That just, you put them all in Sequestria just to like sit there and not come back? Like, it doesn't make any sense.
What if they do bring back actually Chris Underwood?
It is like, it Chris Underwood in drag. It is actually Chris Underwood.
You know what? I'm going to text my roommate and tell me what it is.
Be like, please tell me. I can't stand it.
I think mathematically it makes sense. It's not this next episode, obviously, as we know. I think it has to be the episode after that one. Like, mathematically, it doesn't make sense.
I feel like I said that last week, though. It's like, mathematically, it has to be next week. No, I'm a liar.
Well, to be fair, I have better chances now, considering we have less episodes.
Well, yeah, I know. Like, be like, well, it's going to happen this season. I'm like, pretty sure it's going to happen this season. I can't imagine a world. So let's say it truly is bringing somebody back. Then unless that person is, I have Pandora, whoever gets eliminated next week, and maybe Jan, you've missed the whole season. You have no shot. It makes no sense. You're just there as a placeholder.
Serena Chacha coming to Chris Underwood this season.
Oh my gosh. I mean, I can't, whatever. Anyway, fine. Drag race.
I did make the joke, but now there's a part of me that's a little paranoid now. Before we went live, I said, I bet that the game within the game is just All-Star 7.
Stay tuned for All-Star 7, the game within a game. Or maybe it's like a cross-season thing. I don't know. Whatever. I mean, maybe at some point we'll find out. I hope for our sake.
And how many episodes will there be? Like, will there be 10 episodes?
Okay, so we're at 8 episodes now, right? This was episode 8. So next week is episode 9. So then if episode 10 is the game within the game, and then someone comes back, then we're back to final five, right? So then episode 11 would be final five, and then episode 12 would be final four.
Yeah, it says there's 12 episodes on the Wikia.
Okay.
Well, so somebody's coming back.
Well, the Wikia.
I wonder if it's a 2-hour season finale, though.
That's possible. Mm. I mean, they were separate episodes, because I think that first, when they first released, it was episodes 1 and episodes 2, right?
Yes.
That first week?
Yeah.
Yes, it was.
Unless the person who comes back is replacing somebody who's leaving the competition, so it doesn't go to a 5, it goes to a 4 that way.
Oof, can you imagine? That sucks for that person.
Yeah.
Because do they get to compete?
That happened in season... seven, where they had the makeover challenge with each other and they had to do a runway. Somebody left that episode and somebody also came back, so they just had the same number that they would have had going into the next round.
They did it for All-Stars 3 too with Cameron or wait, who? Morgan and Michaels.
Hope. No, yeah. It's true. Yeah.
All right. So I guess it's precedented. It's not unprecedented. I don't know. Not without precedent. Yeah. So yeah. Jaden Dior Fierce went home and Trixie came back into the competition.
Okay.
Brutal. All righty. Is there anything from Untucked that you guys want to touch on? Again, it was a lot of them getting along. I did think there was one interesting conversation about them talking about comedy, especially with the way Beth, you're smiling.
Just let me be like, it was just a lot of them getting along.
Can you believe that? Friendship? Come on. What do I watch this show for? But it was funny because then even in the context, you're like, we just want to show people that we can get along and we're, you know, drag queens aren't always catty.
I like it when people
are catty. All people. It doesn't matter who you are. Just be catty. I want drama.
Bring it.
My favorite part of Untucked was only Eureka not being able to lift her head. So she's like the entire time, like, I'm listening to you guys.
His wig is so heavy.
I'm not being disrespectful. It's just my wig is so heavy.
But it was funny because it was kind of like the one thing that we're like, well, don't you think this, Eureka? And she was like,
like her neck is like in critical condition.
Yeah.
I was like, somebody support the head here.
Like a baby. Hold her head up.
Imagine being the crewmate that had to do that. Just come over and be like,
that's what the pit crew is for, right? Bring him in. Okay. That does it for us for this episode. We'll be back to talk Drag Tots next week, and then hopefully a game within a game. all right, Amon, where can people find you on social media? What are you up to?
You can find me on all platforms at Amon Adwin. Catch me on Twitch reading Harry Potter. And that's it for now.
Yas. And Beth, what about you? Where can people find you? What are you up to?
People can find me at AugustaWind11, all my social media platforms, including my Twitch channel. I will be back from my brief return to the North Country from New York City next week, and hoping to actually do some more streaming. So be sure to check me out there. You can also catch me out on my other podcast, Hot Mess Moments with Dylan Zahner, and my weekly meltdown.
And you can follow me on Twitter at Liana RHAP, podcasting about Big Brother. We did the B&B with Mon, which was really fun. Did the morning update, around, chilling, being my best self. And I was also a guest on the finale of the 90 Day Fiance podcast for Happily Ever After. There's still going to be a tell all after that, but this was like the end of the regular episode. It was super fun. It was just Puya and I goofing around. So I highly recommend you check that out on the 90 Day Fiance feed or in the reality TV or Hapups feed, which is, of course, where you found this podcast, perhaps. It is the sort of beginning of the month, so I'm just going to do a quick plug for our patron program. There's so much fabulous content that you get when you become a patron of RHAP. There is exclusive shows, exclusive content. You get access to our patron group and to our Discord. So if you are interested in checking that out, I highly recommend it. It's such a fun community to be a part of. And if you feel so inclined, you can support not only all of RHAP, but the fabulous work that we do here on the Drag Race podcast. Leave your star ratings and reviews for us on iTunes. RobHouseWebsite.com/DragRace. Thank you to Scott for all your help behind the scenes, and we'll talk to y'all soon. Bye.